Get your Bibles. We want to spend some time, since it's Grace Bible Fellowship, we want to spend some time in the Word together. So it's going to be a familiar passage if you turn to Ephesians 2, which also brings up that Reg, as he wraps up the kind of current series, we'll be getting into Ephesians, and we'll, for however long that takes, coming up. So we were talking the other day, and you know, kind of joking about our tentative timeline, and there, you know, there isn't one. So he said he had one more week to go with what he needs to wrap up. And we said, okay, so that's at least two, right? And he goes, he started laughing, goes, yeah, probably two, maybe three. So a week's worth of material into the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at mainly one word on this, and it's a familiar passage. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. But there's one word that jumped out at me this week, and you know, when you kind of go in and look at it, and it just happens to have my favorite verse in this passage, so that was that's one reason I was in this thing. But as we come across, we have to kind of cross the road, and as we cross the road, there's one part in front of that word that we're going to get to as well, and it's talking about grace and boasting. So let's start with verse 1. This is in NAS. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Spurgeon kind of recants Napoleon as he was ascending to take his crown. And as he took it and put it on his head, I take this of which I am due. And he puts it on his head. That he was well deserved of the position that he assumed. You know, it's interesting that as we look at a verse in here, and it talks about boasting. Look in verse 9. Not a result of works. The word there is ergon, deeds, works, activities. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. You know, at what level of scale would we be mature enough that we, if we said, you know, we can attain heaven by a little bit of ourselves? You know, if we get there and we're looking back and we're in glory and it was 50% God and it was 50% us. And would we give the glory to, man, it was 50% God that brought me here? Or would we say, no, it's 50% me that brought me here. Well, if you move that scale down, even if we as human, we say, well, it was 75% God that brought me here and 25% the integrity of ourselves would bring us to, we would boast about 25%. I'll just think of the people that don't have 25%, that couldn't muster 25% of their goodness and their works to bring themselves before the throne of grace. Well, let's move the meter a little bit further. 3%. In our fallen condition, we would still come before and say, 97% God, 3%. Just think of all those people that couldn't muster 3%. Now, God tells us, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. We can't put a percent on it. It's none of us. It's not a thing of where we can take that word, we can take that word works, and stretch it into something where it's a half percent, it's a quarter percent, it's an 18th of a percent. No, he says it's not of works that no one should boast, because we would. But verse 10 is my favorite verse, and there's one word in here that I want to draw our attention to, and then we'll wrap up and eat. Because what I want to try to do, and with lunch, would it be better to visualize an onion, and we peel back the layers of the onion? Or with Valentine's approaching, would you rather visualize a rose? And as a rose unfolds and we have the petals that lay back and we look, and as we look deeper into the rose, as it unfolds more and more, we can see more of the beauty of the flower that's there. You can take an onion, take your rose, we get the same. But here it is in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The same word in works, it's ergon. It's the same one as before. He says it's not of works that you can't, so that you don't boast. And yet, works are important, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now the rose, if we're going to fold that back and look at it, is the word workmanship. Who has a different word translation in theirs for workmanship? Does anybody have anything different? So you all have the original manuscripts is what you're looking at. We're all looking at the same thing. Well, there's a couple of different words for that. The word is actually poeme. As we get so many words in English from Greek, what do you think that might be in English? Poem. It's the word that we take and use for poem. Let's read it with that in there. For we are his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good. That's closer. Another translation is work of art. Let's read it that way. For we are his work of art. When you read a poem, you blow through it and you've got it. I mean, you just kind of read it one time as... Okay, what else? Anybody memorize any poems when you were younger? And you appreciate the rhyme, the syntax, the meter. As you get into it, there's more to it than just words thrown together. There's intent. There's skill. Inspiration. That puts all that together into a poem that makes a poem something different than just regular literature. We even set it apart. It has its own separate genre, if you will, and break apart literature into poems. Workmanship, work of art, masterpiece, handicraft is another word for that. We are his work of art. Now you could put in here, act like it. But he puts that in other places. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for good deeds, for good activities. It has a lot of different descriptions. Deeds is the one that's used most often. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How many of you have ever had an employee or a co-worker that you taught, that you were given the responsibility to teach your co-worker how to do the job, to either pick it up from you, or if you were the boss, they were going to pick up this responsibility and you didn't want to have to be there every minute, every day, now do this, now do this, now do that. You know, you pay somebody to do a job, working's worthy of his wage, you expect him to do that. When you think back to that experience, did you just kind of go in and hand him the manual? There you go. I'll see you later. We probably had bosses that did that. But more than likely, you had in mind, well, with your limited knowledge, skill set, experience, you can do this. And it's a very simple task. And then after you get that down, then we'll do this. And then after you get that down, we'll do this over here. And I'll show you how to do that, and we'll do this. Until you get to a point of, okay, you got it. You're on your own. That's what God did here. Look at verse 10. The last part, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has those tasks, those deeds for us that he says, okay, here's this right here. Whether it's ministering to a coworker, whether it's serving someone else, he says, do this right here, and when you get done with that, I've got this over here for you to do. And when you get to that point, I've got this over here. It's already prepared just for us, just for our skill set, just for what we can do, and it was done beforehand that he's laid those things out. Now, whether the Phillips head on and you'd say, okay, what are those deeds that we need to do that are laid out waiting for you to be involved with when you get there? Or for the ones of us that stay behind, God has those deeds laid out that we should walk in them, and he did it beforehand. So when you come up and you're bumping your head against those things, Bubba has 14 RFPs he has to get out and jobs lined up and all those things that he lays out for his guys to go out and do, there's more and probably harder stuff ahead that's been prepared just for him beforehand. Well, if God knows how much we can handle, because that's what he's laid out for us beforehand, then will God not be sufficient to give us the strength, to give us the endurance, to give us everything we need to do those deeds, those good deeds that he says right here, that he laid out for us beforehand to do? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, that you preserved it, that there's so many nuances to it, so many levels. As we watch the leaves fold back and the flower unfold, and we see that, yes, we're your workmanship, but it's so much more than that. So much more loving, so much more intentional, so much more creative. And thank you for that. Thank you for that great price that was paid, that relationship that was established through your son Jesus, that we could understand these truths through your Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.